7 Day of Rage. The Craigslist Killer, CBS. Full text. Graphics on screen, Boston, Massachusetts. Trisha Leffler. Come and spend some time with the sweet blonde, and if you're looking to get away or want to relax, give me a call. I got a call a little bit after midnight. He said, how much? I said, I told him, you know, $200 for the hour. He said, okay. Maria Kramer, Philip Markoff is a 23-year-old Boston University medical student. Trisha Leffler. Tall, blonde, good-looking gentleman, look nice. Maria Kramer. He's by all accounts what we would consider a good citizen. Trisha Leffler, I just said hi, how are you? And he said good. I said all right, come on then, motioned him to follow me into the room. Maria Kramer. He has no criminal record. He has a fiancé. He seems to be an ambitious, intelligent man who had a future ahead of him. Trisha Leffler, I shut the door. I turned around and I locked it. That's when he pulled out the gun. He's very calm, like he's done that before. My name is Trisha Leffler and I was attacked by the Craigslist killer. Joe Mora. Craigslist in the prostitution game today is the old yellow pages. Maria Kramer. It's easier for aspiring predators to find prey. Joe Mora. Click on the site, and you've got your victim for the night. Maria Kramer. Julissa was 25 when she died. She was young and she was beautiful, but unfortunately I think she went on a very troubled path. Her services are advertised as massages, messages of a more sexual nature. Julissa was a fighter. She wouldn't let anybody rob her or take her money. She fought back. Her killer, who police have identified as Philip Markoff, smashed her over the head with a gun, and then shot her 3 times, striking her in the heart. Woman, News Audio, Boston police say the Craigslist killer is a 22-year-old pre-med student at Boston University. Paul La Rosa, I discovered that Philip Markoff did have a secret life, a side of him that his family and friends had no idea existed. Maria Kramer. He was participating in a sexual websites, and he posted photos of his naked torso. Steve Hoff. It revealed a whole new layer to the story. This wasn't simply a robbery gone wrong anymore. Paul La Rosa. I think Philip Markoff gave into his demons. He completely gave into his dark side. Graphics on screen. Now the Craigslist killer takes another life, his own. Dan Conley. Efforts to revive him were unsuccessful. Mr. Markoff died at his own hand. Maria Kramer. The day that he committed suicide, that was 1 day after what would have been his 1-year wedding anniversary. It's no coincidence whatsoever, especially when you hear about what was written on his cell wall. Announcer, 7 Day of Rage. The Craigslist Killer, the final chapter, tonight's 48 Hours Mystery. The mystery continues in 90 seconds. Announcements. Peter Van Sant, voiceover. In the spring 2009, Boston was a city at peace. But then, on April 10th, everything changed. The Craigslist killer began his 7-day crime spree. And his first victim was a woman from Las Vegas who was fleeing that city's crackdown on vice. How did you end up in Boston, Massachusetts? Trisha Leffler, I just picked a city and went to it. I've been doing it for the past 2 years. Peter Van Sant. What were you doing? What was your line of work? Trisha Leffler, I was escorting. Peter Van Sant, voiceover. In this case, a traveling escort. 29-year-old Trisha Leffler checked herself into the Westin Copley Hotel. No surprise, Trisha went right to where the money is. The Back Bay area is known for its fancy hotels, exclusive boutiques, and hip restaurants. And how much money can you make in this field? Tricia Leffler. Oh, it's lucrative. Lot of money. Peter Van Sant. Thousands a week. Tricia Leffler. Oh, yeah. Peter Van Sant, voiceover. She immediately went online to Craigslist, the web bulletin board, and placed an ad in the erotic services section. What was your headline that you put in? Tricia Leffler. It was something along the lines of Sweet Blonde. Come and relax with me. Peter Van Sant. How long before you started getting phone calls? Tricia Leffler. Right away. Peter Van Sant. Right away. Tricia Leffler. Peter Van Sant. This is so easy, isn't it? Tricia Leffler. Very easy. Joe Mora. What Craigslist does is basically provide services, and these prostitutes have been providing services for years. If it's not the Yellow Pages, it's going to be Craigslist. They find a means to advertise their services. Peter Van Sant, voiceover, Joe Mora, a Boston-based private investigator and 48 Hours consultant, says that by acting as her own boss, Tricia was increasing her risk. Joe Mora. If there's a street prostitute, she's going to have a pimp down the street or across the street on the corner who's protecting her. Somebody using Craigslist, you know, getting a fancy hotel in Boston, she's on her own. Peter Van Sant, voiceover. But that April night, when Tricia saw the man who answered her ad, she felt perfectly safe. Tricia Leffler. He looked nice, he looked young. Good looking, obviously. Peter Van Sant, voiceover. But once the door was closed, this good-looking young man pulled out a very dangerous-looking gun. Tricia Leffler, I backed up a little bit. He just said, you know, if you do everything you're asked, no harm's going to come to you. And he said, lay down, put your hands behind your back. And then when he started to walk towards me, he put the gun back in his pocket. Peter Van Sant, voiceover. The man put on some black leather gloves and took out some plastic zip ties like these. Tricia Leffler. He knelt down with one knee in between my legs and took my wrists and put the tie around one of them first and then he tied the other one. Peter Van Sant. What are you thinking as he's doing that, essentially putting handcuffs on you? Tricia Leffler, I'm thinking like what does he want? I'm shaking. I'm scared. It dawned on me later that he could have very well killed me. I had about $800 in cash. He grabbed that, put that in his pocket. Peter Van Sant, voiceover. As he took her credit and debit cards, he made no attempt to disguise his face. But he was intent on getting his phone number off her cell phone. Was he wearing his gloves when he did that? Tricia Leffler. No. Peter Van Sant. Well, how dumb is that? Tricia Leffler. Dumb. Peter Van Sant, voiceover. Dumb, and, as it turned out, he was more than a little weird. Tricia Leffler. He picked up a pair of my underwear that were on the floor and put them in his pocket. Peter Van Sant. What did you think to yourself? Tricia Leffler. If he would have looked at my face, it would have been, like, what the hell are you doing? Peter Van Sant, voiceover. At that point, the gunman began walking around the hotel room looking for something. Tricia Leffler. And he said, come here. And I went into the bathroom, and he basically tied me to the doorknob. I got really scared. He took a knife out of his pocket and cut the phone lines. He came back over to me and taped my mouth. He put three pieces of tape over my mouth. Peter Van Sant, voiceover, Tricia noticed that he had yet to put the gloves back on, meaning that his fingerprints were all over that tape. After he leaves, what do you do? Tricia Leffler. Within in 20 to 30 seconds, I was out of my ties. Peter Van Sant. Are you worried he's on the other side of the door still? Tricia Leffler. Yes, I'm worried he's listening through the door. I look out the peephole. There's nothing. There's nobody out there. I open the door very slowly, stuck my head out, looked both ways. Nobody was in the hallway. I crept down the hall to see if he was maybe standing by the elevator. Nobody by the elevator. I'm still shaking. I'm still nervous. So I went back to the room, grabbed my room key, shut the door, and went and knocked on the next door neighbor's door and can I call security? I've just been robbed at gunpoint. The next day, when I went down to the police station to look through some photos, they had a surveillance photo of the man that I described. Peter Van Sant, a photo taken at the hotel. Tricia Leffler. Yes. Peter Van Sant, voiceover. These stills taken from a hotel security camera were the first shots of the man who became known as the Craigslist killer. You could tell it was him? Tricia Leffler. Yes, I could tell it was him. Peter Van Sant. Wasn't he aware that there were security cameras that people could track him down if something did go wrong? Joe Mora. Sometimes, because there are security cameras everywhere, it's almost like they're not there. He figured that the crime was simple. He was going to do the robbery, he was going to walk out, she's not reporting it, and nobody's going to be checking video if he was here or not. He figured it's a clean, clear-cut case. He's out of here. Peter Van Sant, voiceover, Tricia remained in Boston, waiting for the police to release her cell phone when on April 15th, they called. Tricia Leffler. And they said we need to talk to you. It's really important. 5 minutes later, a knock at the door. And then they handed me a photograph. And I said, wow, this is a really good picture of him. Where did you get it from? And they just stopped and looked at me and they were, like, is that him? I said, yeah, this is him. Was this before he came up to my room? They said, no, this is taken from a different hotel. And they said, he murdered another girl last night. Announcements. Maria Kramer, I've been working at the Boston Globe for 5 years. I've been doing this beat specifically for about 2 years. Peter Van Sant, voiceover. Reporter Maria Kramer covers the crime and police beat. She is also a 48 hours consultant. He had some good contacts. Maria Kramer. In the police department? I probably shouldn't say that. Peter Van Sant and Maria Kramer laughing. Maria Kramer, I get by. Peter Van Sant, voiceover. In the spring of 2009, Maria found herself at the center of a white-hot story. Maria Kramer, I got a call from my editor on April 15th telling me that there was a report of a woman shot at the Copley Marriott in Boston. Peter Van Sant, voiceover. The dead woman was 25-year-old Julie Sabrisman, an aspiring model from New York City. Maria Kramer, I knew immediately that it was going to be a big story, and as more information began coming down the pike it was just getting bigger and bigger. Peter Van Sant, voiceover. That's because the police had connected Julie's murder to the robbery of Tricia Leffler just days before. Both women had advertised in the erotic services section of Craigslist, had been restrained with plastic ties, and, once again, stills from the Marriott showed this tall, blonde, preppy-looking man leaving the scene of the crime. Maria Kramer. What frightened a lot of people is these pictures of a person that doesn't seem to have a care in the world. Peter Van Sant, voiceover. The media labeled him the Craigslist killer. Maria Kramer. The case really began to take on a life of its own. Peter Van Sant, voiceover. And now all eyes were focused on the 20th floor hotel room of Julie Sabrisman. What do police believe happened in that room? Paul La Rosa. Police believe that the attacker immediately pulled the gun on her. He got at least one plastic tie on her wrist. At that point, she fought back. Peter Van Sant, voiceover, 48 Hours producer Paul La Rosa along with Maria Kramer has written a new book about the case called 7 Days of Rage. It is published by Simon & Schuster, a division of CBS. Paul La Rosa. Her killer shot her right at the front of her room. When he opened the door to flee, she fell outside the room. Peter Van Sant, voiceover, a guest from New York City was staying in a room just down the hall from Julissa. This witness, who we'll call Jill, told La Rosa what she saw and heard. Paul La Rosa, Jill was in her room reading a mystery novel, and all of a sudden, she starts hearing like a commotion down the hall, and eventually she poked her head out the door. And what she saw down the hall was a woman who was half in and half out of the doorway. She wasn't moving. Jill decided at that point, she was going to call security. The guard bent over, started moving the hair away from the woman on the floor, and he saw a lot of blood. And once he saw the blood, the guard said, "Get in your room," he said to Jill. She stayed in the hallway, and watched to see what was happening. And he immediately, you know, started talking into his walkie-talkie. He said, "This is an emergency. We need paramedics." Peter Van Sant, voiceover. Less than an hour later, Julie Sabrisman, only a week away from her 26th birthday, was pronounced dead at Boston Medical Center. Later that night, cops called her mother, Carmen, in New York City. And Carmen called Mark Pines, a photographer who was helping Julissa in her career, and also was a family friend. Mark Pines. "She just told me that Julissa died. You can't go back from a statement like that, it's definitive," and we just started crying. More than words, we needed to share feelings at that point. The details, I didn't care about the details at that point. My heart was so broken that all I could do was cry. Peter Van Sant, voiceover. For her family and Julissa's many friends, her murder was a tragic end to a life just beginning to turn around. Maria Kramer. What we know about Julissa before this was that she was a party girl, you know, she was living the high life in New York and she was a young, beautiful girl in New York City and she took full advantage of her youth, and her beauty to, you know, to live it up. Peter Van Sant, voiceover. But at the time of her death, Julissa had stopped drinking, and had radically changed her appearance. Her friend Mark Pines says she was happy. Mark Pines. She would smile with her whole face. She'd smile with her mouth, and her eyebrows at the same time, and she had eyes that were, like, just this amazingly positive, optimistic thing in her eyes. Peter Van Sant, voiceover. Pines featured Julissa in this video about cell phones. Julie Sabrisman. "Yeah, try calling me. You're not going to reach me." Peter Van Sant, voiceover. He also wrote a song about her. Song playing. Peter Van Sant, voiceover. Julissa was trying to get her modeling and acting career going, but in the meantime, there were bills to be paid. So she began to offer what's known in the trade as sensual or erotic massages. Peter Van Sant. Was Julissa a prostitute? Maria Kramer. No, not from what I'm told. She was disgusted by it. That said, she was definitely operating in a world that could become dangerous. Peter Van Sant, voiceover. With two victims plucked off Craigslist, one dead and one terrorized, critics blasted the site as a virtual bordello filled with all too real prostitutes. Paul La Rosa. Sex and crime were always around, even before the internet. But the internet makes it just so much easier. Peter Van Sant, voiceover. The Craigslist killer knew that all too well. Just 2 days after Julissa's murder, he dipped into Craigslist yet again to find his next victim. Announcements. Maria Kramer. If you had somebody targeting women in nice hotels, in a busy part of the city where a lot of tourists hang out, that was a huge concern for police. Peter Van Sant, voiceover. In Boston, the police kept watch on the city's downtown core, determined to find the killer who was choosing his victims off Craigslist. Then, just 2 days after Julissa Brisman's murder, the Craigslist killer found a new target 60 miles from Boston at a Holiday Inn in Warwick, Rhode Island. His victim was a stripper from Las Vegas who asked that we not use her real name. So, we'll refer to her as Amber. Paul La Rosa. She was dancing at a local strip club in Providence. Peter Van Sant, voiceover, Amber would not do an on-camera interview, but did talk to authors Paul La Rosa and Maria Kramer. Maria Kramer. She goes there often with her husband. She dances at the Cadillac Lounge. Peter Van Sant, voiceover. During her downtime, Amber advertised on Craigslist, offering private lap dances in her hotel room. Maria Kramer. One of these people matched the description of the man who attacked the two women in Boston. Peter Van Sant, voiceover. For the third time in 7 days, a woman willingly opened her door to this clean-cut young man. She turns around in the room, she turns back to this guy, what happens? Paul La Rosa. The guy had a gun, and he was pointing it at her. She said he was nervous and his hand was actually shaking, the gun hand. And he said, "I'm broke, I don't want to kill you. I just need cards or money." Peter Van Sant. What did she do? Paul La Rosa. Well, she was scared. She said, "I'll give you whatever you want." He immediately tied her up with these plastic handcuffs, laid her on the ground, and started looking through her room. Peter Van Sant. Same kind of zip ties that had been used in Boston. Paul La Rosa. Exactly. At that point, her cell phone started to ring, and the gunman got very nervous when the phone kept ringing and ringing. He said, "Who's calling you? Why are they calling now?" Peter Van Sant, voiceover. The caller was Amber's husband, and her business manager. He was in the hotel lobby waiting for a signal from Amber that everything was okay. When he did not get it, he began calling and headed up to his wife's room. Paul La Rosa. Suddenly, there was a man coming through the door, because her husband had the key to the room. The gunman pointed the gun at Amber's husband. Amber's husband took off down the hall one way, the attacker took off the other way. Peter Van Sant, voiceover. The gunman escaped, although security cameras captured his image in the stairwell and lobby. How dumb is it to show your face to these people? Maria Kramer. What we might think is stupidity, police are more inclined to call arrogance, a person who just thinks he's smarter than everybody else and didn't expect to get caught. Peter Van Sant, voiceover. But over these 7 days of rage, the Craigslist killer made several crucial mistakes showing his face to his victims, allowing his image to be captured by security cameras. But his biggest blunder was unwittingly handing investigators a roadmap to his front door. Maria Kramer. One of Julissa's friends found the emails between her and her 10 p.m. appointment, the man that she met at 10 p.m. the night that she died, and then called Boston police to tell them, "I have these emails. That means I have his IP address." Peter Van Sant, voiceover. An IP or internet protocol address is unique to each computer that sends email. Joe Mora. That was a huge break in the investigation. Peter Van Sant, voiceover. Investigator Joe Mora. Joe Mora. That was like leaving the gun at the scene with your fingerprints on the gun. It's the same exact thing. Peter Van Sant, voiceover. Detectives began tracing that virtual IP address, and it led them to a suburb just outside Boston. Maria Kramer. That address led police to an apartment in Quincy, specifically to an apartment belonging to Philip Markoff. Peter Van Sant, voiceover, Philip Markoff. For the first time, investigators could match a name to a suspect. And they were shocked to discover this 23-year-old was a second-year medical student at Boston University. Paul La Rosa, Philip Markoff is a brilliant student. And we know he has an uncommon mind. Maria Kramer. When they got Philip Markoff's name, they still weren't convinced. Peter Van Sant, voiceover. Officers from Boston's elite fugitive squad began an around-the-clock stakeout. Maria Kramer. They began their stakeout late Saturday night, early Sunday morning, waiting for somebody to come out that would look like the man in these video surveillance photos. And when he did, they realized, okay, we've got somebody who looks a lot like these photos. One sergeant basically called the investigators after watching him all day, and said, I like him. I like him a lot. Peter Van Sant, voiceover. But before cops brought him in for questioning, the DA wanted a positive ID. They reached out to the Craigslist killer's first target, Tricia Leffler. Tricia Leffler, I got a call that morning. It was the assistant DA at Boston and she said we have a photo lineup for you. Are you still in Boston? I said, no, I'm in New York. I just left yesterday. Peter Van Sant, voiceover. It was now 1 week after Julissa's murder, and the methodical Craigslist investigation suddenly turned frantic. Markoff, along with his fiancée Megan McAllister, was on the move. Maria Kramer. They come out carrying a small suitcase and an over-the-shoulder knapsack, got into the car, and start heading down Route 95 South. Peter Van Sant, voiceover. The couple was heading to Foxwoods Casino in Connecticut. The race was on. Boston authorities were intent on making sure Markoff did not set foot over the state line. Once that car crosses the state line, Maria Kramer. They are out of their jurisdiction, so they were going to have a make a quick decision. Peter Van Sant, voiceover. The Boston DA rushed a New York detective over to Trisha's Manhattan hotel room with a photo array that included Markoff. Tricia Leffler, I went through them one by one. When I hit number 5, I just started shaking. And I said, this is him. Maria Kramer, Boston police very excitedly got on the phone with the fugitive unit, and said, get him. Peter Van Sant, voiceover. Back on I-95, the police cars surrounded Markoff. Maria Kramer. They pulled him over. They said, we have a warrant for this automobile, and we need to take it back to Boston and you need to come with us. Peter Van Sant, voiceover. The police immediately informed him that he was under arrest for kidnapping, armed robbery, and murder. When Megan was told the news of Philip's arrest, she broke down and cried. Detectives saw no reason to hold her and she was allowed to fly to her parents' home in New Jersey while Markoff went off to jail. Tricia Leffler. As soon as they told me they had him in custody, I just started crying. I was very, very happy. It was like a weight had been lifted off my chest to know that he had finally been caught, and he can't hurt anybody else. Peter Van Sant, voiceover. But with Philip Markoff in custody, the questions were only just beginning. When we come back, correspondent Richard Schlesinger investigates the two sides of Philip Markoff. Steve Huff, I don't really believe in split personalities. Yet, there were two very just incredibly different people, and they were almost living separate lives. Announcements. Dan Conley. We will do everything we can to hold him accountable for these terrible crimes. Richard Schlesinger, voiceover. There were plenty of reasons for people to be shocked when Philip Markoff was arrested. He sure didn't look the part. handsome young medical students seldom end up shackled and cuffed and facing the judge in a notorious case of homicide. Casey Jordan. This is the sort of person you would never expect to be involved in these sorts of crimes. And he counted on that. Richard Schlesinger. Because he thought what he was sort of hiding in plain sight that he was the boy next door? Casey Jordan. Exactly. Richard Schlesinger, voiceover, Casey Jordan is an attorney and a psychologist who specializes in criminal behavior. Casey Jordan. He presented a virtual identity to society which everyone could buy into. The guy next door, tall and blonde and handsome, a medical student engaged to a beautiful girl. Richard Schlesinger, voiceover. So the last thing his friends expected was this. Morgan Houston. It was shocking. I went into shock. Richard Schlesinger, voiceover. Morgan Houston was Markoff's friend and study partner at the State University of New York at Albany. They were both pre-med. Morgan Houston. He was dorky, but so many of us are. I mean, I can be a big dork too. Richard Schlesinger, voiceover. He might have been a dork, but Markoff was also a star student. In fact, he finished college in just 3 years, graduated summa cum laude, and was accepted to medical school at top-ranked Boston University. By 2009, Markoff was a second-year med student and was planning a wedding to Megan McAllister, his college girlfriend. It was supposed to be a lavish sunset ceremony at this beach resort in New Jersey. Instead, Markoff ended up in jail and Megan holed up here at her parents' house in Little Silver, New Jersey. The press pursued her, but she stayed mostly out of sight. Still, Megan, who had been dating Markoff for 3 years, came quickly to his defense after his arrest, writing reporters, "Philip is a beautiful man inside and out and would not hurt a fly." Woman. Can you tell us how your daughter is doing? Jim McAllister. As expected, not well. Richard Schlesinger, voiceover, Megan's father, Jim McAllister, spoke to reporters in front of the family home 2 days after Markoff's arrest. Jim McAllister. So she's still confident in Phil, but other than that, we're saying a lot of prayers. Richard Schlesinger. But police were making it more difficult for people to remain confident in Markoff. They say they found the gun that killed Julie Sabrisman in his apartment. It was like something out of a corny detective novel. The gun similar to this one was found hidden inside a hollowed-out book. It was of all things a copy of Grey's Anatomy like this one, the basic reference book for all doctors and medical students. Joe Mora. They found the gun in a book. And if they showed that that gun was a gun that was involved in the shooting, you got a case closed situation. See you later. He's gone. Richard Schlesinger, voiceover. And that wasn't all the police found. Remember Tricia Leffler's stolen underwear? Tricia Leffler. The Boston detective called me from his apartment. He said, "We did find both pairs of your underwear." Richard Schlesinger, voiceover. And police report finding two more pairs of women's underwear hidden under Markoff's mattress, though they haven't said whose. But if Markoff was keeping underwear from his victims as trophies, it was beginning to look like these were more than just simple robberies gone wrong. Casey Jordan. It wasn't just about the money, it was, if I'm going to get the money, how can I get it and fulfill this personal need for thrill? Richard Schlesinger, voiceover. Jordan thinks Markoff gets his thrills from a frightening mixture of power, sex and control. And one night back in college, after more than a few drinks, Morgan Houston may have caught a glimpse of Philip Markoff's thrill-seeking. Morgan Houston. Going up into the tower where I live, he cornered me and pushed me up against the wall, and was trying to kiss me. And I was saying, "No, Phil. We're just friends. What are you trying to do?" And I was trying to push him away. And he was being forceful, and I couldn't physically get him off me. And thankfully, One of my very close friends had come along and he was able to pull him off of me and I was able to escape upstairs. Richard Schlesinger. Were you scared? Morgan Houston. Yeah. Of course I had no control. He wasn't listening to me when I was saying no. It wasn't the Phil I knew. I chalked it up to the alcohol. Richard Schlesinger, voiceover. Maybe it was the alcohol or maybe it was a hint of what the real Philip Markoff was like. The day after Markoff's arrest, a report surfaced that he had traded emails with a transvestite advertising on Craigslist. Steve Hoff. It appeared that he was interested in homosexual sadomasochism, and he was interested in being the submissive partner. Richard Schlesinger, voiceover, Steve Hoff is a crime blogger, and a contributor to the True Crime Report. Following up on the email address Markoff reportedly used Sex Addict 5385, Hoff made a startling discovery. Steve Hoff, I received a tip that, if you added another 8 to that address, there were secondary profiles that nobody knew about yet. Richard Schlesinger, voiceover. And here is one of the profiles Huff found for Sex Addict 53885, believed to be Markoff, on alt.com, a personal's website for the very adventurous. It lists these among his interests: chains, collars, leashes, and experimentation with transvestites, among others. Richard Schlesinger. How certain are you that the fellow you are reading about on that website is Philip Markoff? Steve Hoff. Oh, I'm certain. Richard Schlesinger. How can you be sure? Steve Hoff. That all the evidence points to him. The person posting had the same birth date as Markoff. He had the similar handles, the sex addict handle. Richard Schlesinger. Voiceover. There's also this, Boston police have confirmed a torso shot seen here was found on Markoff's laptop. These secret profiles, and his alleged solicitation of a transvestite suggest to psychologist Casey Jordan that Markoff's public persona was at war with his deeper desires. Casey Jordan. He really did have this other double life. Now that, in and of itself, doesn't cause people to rob or to kill. But what it does is very often cause, what we call in criminology, a fractured identity. That conflict can actually result in violence. Richard Schlesinger, voiceover. Police say in February, Markoff used a fake ID to buy a gun in New Hampshire, the same gun police report finding in his apartment. Casey Jordan. He had the gun. He was willing to use it and he wasn't afraid of killing at this point. Richard Schlesinger, voiceover. In fact, as the final chapter unfolds, Markoff shows everyone just how violent he could be. Announcements. Peter Van Sant, voiceover. With Philip Markoff behind bars. Dan Conley. There is a possibility that Philip Markoff has done this before. Peter Van Sant, voiceover. District Attorney Dan Conley made a public plea to other possible victims. Dan Conley. If you have been a victim like these victims have been, please come forward. Peter Van Sant, voiceover. And for the first time since Markoff's arrest. Woman, a short time ago, Philip Markoff's parents left. Peter Van Sant, voiceover. His father, Dr. Richard Markoff, and his mother, Susan Haynes, visited him in jail. Man. Do you still believe in your son's innocence? Peter Van Sant, voiceover, Markoff's older brother also visited him. Woman. His brother John and his wife Diana are now. Peter Van Sant, voiceover, and soon after, reports began to circulate that a distraught Markoff told his brother to forget about him and move to California because even more damning information would be revealed. It was yet another shock for Markoff's family who live in upstate New York. Maria Kramer. His mother worked at a casino. His father was a dentist. And by all accounts, He had a normal, happy upbringing. Peter Van Sant, voiceover. But by last summer, those happy days were done. A Boston grand jury indicted Markoff on first-degree murder for killing Julie Sabrisman and the kidnapping and armed robbery of Tricia Leifler. Markoff was required to appear in court to answer those charges, and for the first time since the case catapulted into the headlines, the public would get a chance to hear the man at the center of this media hurricane. Man. How do you plead to this indictment, sir? Philip Markoff. No guilty. Peter Van Sant, voiceover. Not guilty. Markoff sounded confident in his innocence, but he and his lawyer are in a distinct minority. Maria Kramer. The police have incredibly strong evidence against Philip Markoff. Peter Van Sant, voiceover. The damning security camera stills, Trisha's eyewitness identification, Markoff's fingerprints allegedly found on the duct tape used on Tricia and Maria Kramer. The most devastating, the 9mm gun, and the hollowed-out copy of Grey's Anatomy. Peter Van Sant. Has a ballistics test been run on that weapon? Maria Kramer. Yes, a ballistics test has been run on the weapon, and has shown that there is a match between the gun and the bullets that killed Julie Sabrisman. Peter Van Sant, voiceover. But what about Markoff's fiancée, Megan McAllister, who lived with him inside that Quincy apartment? Is there any evidence that Megan knew anything of Philip's secret life? Maria Kramer. None. Peter Van Sant. She knew nothing about his bizarre sex life? Maria Kramer. No, she didn't know any of this. Woman number one, Megan, do you have a comment? Woman number two, I know this must be a real hard time for you right now, Megan. Peter Van Sant, voiceover, Megan visited Markoff twice in jail and told him face to face that the wedding was off. Woman number three, Megan, will you ever see him again? Do you think you'll ever see him again? Peter Van Sant, voiceover. That question was answered this past week in a shocking development. Russ Mitchell, CBS Evening News. The so-called Craigslist killer commits suicide in jail. Maria Kramer. The initial reports were that Philip Markoff had killed himself in his own cell at the Nashua Street Jail where he was being held and where he was awaiting trial. He had put a plastic bag over his head in an apparent attempt to asphyxiate himself. And he had also cut some major artery. Peter Van Sant, voiceover. It was left to DA Conlid to lay out precisely how Markoff committed suicide. Dan Conley. Using a primitive scalpel fashioned from a pen and sharp piece of metal, he inflicted a series of small puncture wounds and incisions on his body, including his neck, arms, wrists, and ankles. He hit several veins and the carotid artery in his neck. All of these wounds are consistent with suicide. Peter Van Sant, voiceover. These photos taken inside Markoff's cell show that homemade scalpel and the plastic bag he put over his head. How these photos were leaked to a local Boston television station is under investigation, as is Markoff's suicide. Markoff had tried to kill himself at least once before, hours after his arrest, but a psychiatrist later took him off suicide watch. Maria Kramer. The way that he did this really almost virtually guaranteed that he would die before anybody could find him. It seems as though he took great pains to make sure he wouldn't be found alive. Peter Van Sant, voiceover. If there was a suicide note, it has not been revealed. However, before he died, Markoff, a known gambler, played one last card. Maria Kramer. In a small space above the door, he had written two words in what appeared to be his blood. And the first word was Megan, and underneath it, the word pocket. Peter Van Sant, voiceover. In this photo, it's difficult to make out the words, but it's clear that Markoff never got over Megan. Almost to the day 1 year ago, they were to have wed on this beach. And even as he was living out his final moments, he thought of her. The word pocket reportedly refers to a pet name the two had for each other. And there were several photos of Meghan adorning Markoff's cell wall. Maria Kramer. We don't know what kind of person he is emotionally, and I think that forensic psychologists could have a fascinating time trying to analyze the significance of that day. Peter Van Sant, voiceover. The day after Markoff's suicide, Philip's brother, John, posted a message on Facebook, "Rest in peace, Phil. I will always love you." Those familiar with the case believe Markoff was trying to spare his fiancée, who most likely would have been called to testify, the agony of a trial, a fact that does not sit well with the district attorney. Dan Conley. With Philip Markoff's final actions, the Brisbane family has been deprived of an opportunity to hear a verdict rendered, to see justice pronounced, and even a chance to tell the court and Mr. Markoff face to face what Julie cemented to them and the immeasurable pain and loss he inflicted upon them. I ask you all again to keep Julie Sabrisman and her family, and her friends in your thoughts and prayers. Peter Van Sant, voiceover, Julie's mother, Carmen, is heartbroken and cannot bear to speak publicly about her dead daughter or Markoff's suicide. Maria Kramer. Maybe they would have some sort of understanding of why their daughter had to die, and that's been taken away from them, so that's where the disappointment comes from. Peter Van Sant, voiceover. All she has left are her memories and Julie's dog, Coco, who many said was her best friend. Maria Kramer, I think that's one of the most tragic things, is that he went after somebody so vulnerable. And somebody like Julie Sabrisman is easily forgotten, but she was a real person who meant a lot to quite a few people. Graphics on screen. Meghan McAllister is attending medical school in the Caribbean. Craigslist renamed its erotic services section, calling it adult services. Critics say nothing has changed. End. Content and programming copyright MMXCBS Broadcasting Incorporated, all rights reserved. Copyright 2010 Roll Call, Incorporated. All materials herein are protected by United States copyright law, and may not be reproduced, distributed, transmitted, displayed, published, or broadcast without the prior written permission of Roll Call. You may not alter or remove any trademark, copyright, or other notice from copies of the content. Source, 48 Hours, CBS News, August 20, 2010. Item. 32U06703776 CB6.